1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
So, yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas, right? Okay, sir. So go ahead with what you're saying.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas. Now, tradition states that all Christmas trees, Christmas decorations are supposed to be down on the 12th day of Christmas.
Now that's the tradition of all the decorations. Why the 12th day of Christmas?
Because the 12th day of Christmas, that's when wise men went to Bethlehem. But that's not important. The point is that the Christmas decorations are supposed to be down. That is a tradition that's been observed where we live for the last 24 years, as long as we've lived on the street. Now, this guy who lives across the street is who I'm talking about.
All right. The man across the street from you, Mr. Bonafide, is a guy by the name of Gary Mintons?
Yes, sir.
And what is the problem with him? His tree is still up?
As of last night, yes, sir.
As of last night?
Right. As of last night, as of this morning, his tree is still up. But as of last night, not a single other tree should be up. But his is up. And he has a tree, and the tree that he has is about 8 feet tall. And you know the reason why he still has it up.
Well, why is that? Because it's a big tree?
Because, yes, sir. And he had gotten that tree at the lot about a half hour before I got there. So it's a big 8-foot tree. He's got about 300 lights on it. He's got the glass kind of ornaments. He's got the candy cane and what have you. And the tree is still up there, even though tradition dictates. Now, the reason why that tree is still up is to purposefully irritate me and other people who... I just find it irritating.
You're going to have to stop right there, Lloyd. What difference does it make to you if a guy keeps his tree up?
Because tradition dictates after the 12th day of Christmas, you no longer have your tree up. Now, I am a veteran of the United States Navy, Korean War Service, 1950-1952. And on behalf of the 3.5 million Korean War veterans, it is an affront that this man would abuse and keep the tree up, and he's sticking it to every veteran because...
How can that be? I just want to interrupt you for a moment.
Yes, sir.
How is it that a guy keeping his tree up one day longer than the 12 days of Christmas is an affront to every veteran?
You know something, Mr. Hendry? He knows he's making me angry. He knows that I'm a Korean War veteran.
But you didn't tell me why that makes you angry.
This guy is well known. Okay, if you want me to get into the story.
Yeah, I'd like you to get into the story. The 12 days of Christmas, I don't know. You keep the decorations up, I don't know. But why are you specifically, on behalf of all the Korean War veterans, upset?
This guy that lives across the street from me, this Mr. Mittens, was involved with this gal up the street. He had an affair with this gal up the street. And this gal was, her husband had died. Now, the word got out that apparently he's got a, you know, he's packing a lot. All right, sir?
Okay. So therefore what?
Mr. Henry, believe me, I find it to be offensive that I have to talk to you.
Go ahead. So what?
This is why he's got this big tree to remind everybody on the street he's packing a lot. And that's why he's got the tree up. And everybody knows this. He's got that blue spruce wedged in his bay window like... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the word got out. He knows he's got a big...
All right, so this guy is a sexual... Some kind of a sex guy?
No, he's not. He had an affair with this gal up the street, but she let everybody know that he's packing a lot of equipment.
So he's got a big tree in his window to remind everybody that his penis is big?
That's the word that I got, yes, sir. And I think that it is offensive.
Did he actually tell people that?
He told this gal down the street, yes, sir.
Well, look, you know, the fact is it's a Christmas tree.
No, but he's got it. I know why he's got it up to say, look, see what I got? Now, my wife used to park a car on the alley out back. Now she parks it out on the street. My fear is this, Mr. Henry.
What you're dealing with here is a guy who's probably a little immature, who keeps his tree up longer than he should, you say to remind everybody, remind all the women on the street how well endowed he is, but it may be because he just likes Christmas. I don't know.
Well, but the word is out that that's why he does it.
All right, so he's told this lady that he keeps a big tree in his window to remind all the women on the street?
That's right. And again, that's like, in my opinion, that's like showing it to every woman on the street. You know what they call a man who shows it to women, don't you?
A flasher, right?
A flasher, and the lights on the tree flashing back and on and off and on and off. And so, you know...
This is something you could easily ignore.
No, sir, I'm a Korean War veteran, sir, and nobody, and I mean nobody, shows my wife their thing and how what kind of equipment they're packing.
There's a police report here that you confronted this guy. His name is Mr. Minton.
I went over to his house, yes, sir.
What did you say to him?
I said, it's the day after 12 days, time for the tree to come down, Gary. And he said, oh, is that right? And I remember what he said to me. Is that right, Tiny Tim? And that's when I grabbed a hold of his shirt and the police. And he says it's assault, but I don't believe that it is.
What did you do? You grabbed his shirt with both hands?
I got both handfuls of shirt, yeah. And I blacked out.
Well, he's in the hospital, right?
No, sir. He was in the emergency room.
All right. What did you do? You broke his nose?
Yes, sir. Apparently. Yes, sir.
That's a hell of a way for a Korean War vet to be acting.
Well, it's a hell of a thing for him to stick that. You're absolutely right. And I apologize for my behavior. But for him to stick a Christmas tree in the window to remind all the women on the street how big his thing is.
Look, it's Christmas time, right?
Yes, sir.
And at Christmas time, you're allowed to put a tree in the window.
But that, not what it's supposed to be, your penis. No, you can't do that.
Let me give a phone number out here, Lloyd. Can you hold on?
Huh?
Can you hold on?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is a bizarre story. Guy who lives on the street, he's got a big tree up in his window. The people in the neighborhood would like him to take the tree down because it's... One day after the 12 days of Christmas, that's when you're supposed to take it down. But the other belief is that apparently he's got the tree up in the window to remind all the women on the street who the man is, I guess. Because he had an affair with some gal. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd, you live in Alhambra, right?
Yes, sir. And I can tell you something, Mr. Henry, I fought for this country in Korea, and I don't think that it's right that a man be allowed to unzip his pants, show his private area.
But that's not what he's doing, okay?
No, but he's doing it symbolically. And the part that's so unfair is he uses the sacredness of the Christmas tree, which is the symbol of the birth of our baby Jesus. And he has it in his window to represent the size of his penis, and I find it to be an abomination that he do a thing like that.
How old are you, pal?
Huh?
How old are you?
I'm 67 years of age.
67. Well,
Mr. Henry, Mr. Benton wants to show everybody on the street he can sport timber the way the kids tell it by keeping an 8-footer in his window. Just what the kids say, woke up with wood, you know?
I understand that, sir. I have to tell you that I don't know about the 12 days of Christmas tradition.
Well, because you don't know about it doesn't mean it...
No, that's right. Because I don't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I don't know if there's a law a guy's got to take his tree down. I do would say that it's very offensive for a guy to put a tree up in his window when it's supposed to mean, hey, look at this is how big I am. But then all that is a lot of hearsay, right?
No, everybody knows it. My wife talked to the gal up the street that he had an affair with. And then found out that it's true. That's the part that pisses me off.
All right. 1-800-449. So what would you like him to do?
I want him to take GD tree down and apologize to the women of our neighborhood. I'm already facing a court date on the assault charge.
Did they took you in? Did they take you into jail?
Yes, sir, they did, yes.
Well, you're swinging on some guy because he's got a Christmas tree in his window.
It's supposed to be his penis. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to tell you, sir.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The guy's name is Gary Minton, and across the street, he lives across the street from this guy, Lloyd Bonafide, and he has a 8-foot Christmas tree in his window that is supposedly represents the size of his penis. And this man and a few other men are upset. They want him to take the tree down. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
See, the tree, he keeps the tree up, though, because he's sticking it in. And he just wants to stick it in and twist it. And every night I sit in my...
Hold on. We are talking to Lloyd Bonafide. Lloyd lives in... hold on, sir. Lloyd lives in Alhambra. Guy across the street has kept his lights and his tree up, even though it's after the 12th day of Christmas. And you say it's because it's actually a comment about his manhood.
Well, he's got the tree up. And I said, and last night I got up to get a drink of water. There's the tree with the lights twinkling and flashing away. And I said to my wife, you see what he's doing? Look what he's doing. He's got the tree up and everything. It's just.
He's sticking it in.
He's sticking it in. That's right.
1-800-449-8686. Carmen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Carmen.
I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Bonafide, you're crazy, all right?
Oh, I'm crazy because a man shows my...
You need to stay inside your house and leave other people alone.
How do you figure I'm
crazy?
Stop
saying he, she, say stuff, all right?
Wait a second. How do you figure I'm crazy when a man shows my wife how big his thing is?
Did you see him do it?
He's got his tree up, man.
Oh, no, that doesn't mean nothing because my father gets an 8-foot tree, too.
Well, dear, you don't...
And that doesn't mean nothing.
Well, God forgive you for talking about your father.
Mean he's trying to show off the size of his man stuff.
This guy, Gary Mitten, had an affair with the old widow woman down the street.
But that's none of your business. I mean, she's a widow.
It
ain't like she's cheating on her man.
No,
it's
but
It's none of your business. That's not your wife.
How come she tells all the women folk on the street all about his big thing?
That's her business, though.
Well, she told...
Maybe she's proud of it.
Could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
And I mean to be complimentary because I saw a film the other night that I thought was very cute called White Men Can't Jump. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
And you sound just like the girl that...
Okay, you sound like Rosie Perez, Carmen, I think is what he's saying. I guess that's a compliment, huh?
It's very complimentary. She's a very beautiful young lady. But have you seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
All right, never mind about the movie, okay?
Huh?
Never mind about the movie.
Oh, all right. So anyway, I thought this guy was showing my wife his thing. And that
all of a sudden, you talking to this young girl about this is bothering me.
She called me.
Carmen, so your point is that you think this... Lloyd, you sound like you're getting wound up about nothing.
That's it. He's getting wound up about nothing.
Oh, in a pig's eye. Look, a guy puts a big 8-foot tree up in his window with lights and it's flashing.
Maybe he loves Christmas. Maybe he loves to decorate.
How come he's got it up after the 12th day of Christmas? Can't
because,
answer that, can you?
You
no.
know, people don't take the tree down.
Nobody
I still got my tree
yeah.
up.
You still got your tree up, Carmen?
Yes, I do.
What about you, Mr. Harry?
Huh?
What about you?
We took ours down only because it was dead. It was turning into a fire hazard.
See? So you took yours down.
Not because it was the 12th day of Christmas. It was a fire hazard.
I still got my tree up.
He made a comment about my tree being bent over at the top, and I know that's a direct shot at my... See, my tree is twisted at the top, right? Carmen?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it,
What are you talking about?
The tree that I got at the lot.
What about it?
It's bent at the top.
Okay.
And he said, oh, so your thing looks like that, huh? See, this guy thinks everybody's tree is a symbol for their fetus.
I don't know. I think
it's
just
you know,
crazy.
Yeah, it's a little goofy, all right?
Mm-hmm. My tree, quote-unquote, curves to the left.
Hold on. Carmen, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. What do you mean this guy thinks that everybody's tree represents their thing?
That's what he tells my wife.
For you to put your hands on a neighbor.
Huh?
For you to put your hands on your neighbor, grab his shirt, and then assault him because he called you Tiny Tim.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, sir.
Is you're too old for that. You call yourself a veteran. You ought to represent your country a little bit better.
You never, ever, never, never, ever, never piss off a Korean War veteran. You'll never, ever, never do that.
Let me go over here to Ron on the Phil Henry Show. Ron?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I served my country.
I think he's lost it, too, but...
I lost what? What'd I lose?
I think you've lost your mind or your senses. You just let it go to your head.
Let me explain something to you, friend. Nobody flashes my wife.
I don't think you flashed your wife.
All it was
word from the other lady.
What do you call it when he tells all, the other lady tells everybody on the street, that tree is supposed to be Gary Mitten's statement to the street, look how big my thing is.
I'd just call it hearsay. Street talk.
Tree top?
Street talk.
I don't buy it.
All right, listen.
Well, it's interpretation, that's all it is.
Interpretation. So in other words, Gary, what's your name?
Ron.
Ron, if I said to you, hey, mine's 8 inches long, you'd think I was talking about what?
I wouldn't have any idea what you were talking about.
Oh, bull crap.
Look, the guy's being honest.
He's lying.
He's being honest. Thank you, Ron, for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Scott, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil, thank
yes,
you
sir.
Very much. I want to tell you you're doing an awesome job. What's this gentleman's name?
Okay, what's your comment, sir?
My comment is you're a vet, are you not? You fought for this country?
I'm not a vet, no.
You're talking to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah.
You fought for this country, this Constitution, and we hold so dear. That man has every right. You fought for that man's right to put that tree up in his window.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did, sir.
Hey,
you
listen,
fought
stupid.
For this Constitution,
hey,
did
listen,
you not?
Listen, stupid. I know what I fought for, okay?
Well, what did you fight for?
Not for this asshole. If it...
No, what did you fight in Korea for?
Because they told me to go over and fight. I got drafted.
And he's calling me stupid?
Yeah, I'm calling you stupid.
What everybody tells you
to
do. You just all go do it.
Hey, dumbass, I got drafted.
Hey, dumbass, go jump off a bridge.
You ever heard about getting drafted?
Phil,
you ever heard about getting drafted?
I can't tell you.
You ever heard about getting drafted, okay? You never heard about getting drafted, have you? Stupid asshole.
Look, he's heard about getting drafted. What's that got to do with anything?
What it's got to do with is the fact that I didn't have no say in going over and fighting for Uncle Sam.
Let me ask you something. You been drinking?
Huh?
Have you been drinking?
No, sir, I have not. I take medication for Alzheimer's or for Parkinson's.
For which disease?
Parkinson's.
You said Alzheimer's, didn't you?
No, I did not. I said, Jesus Christ.
Parkinson's.
That's what I said, yes.
Gail, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My dad's a Korean veteran.
God bless him.
But he could care less what people have in their windows.
What if it represented the size of the guy's thingamajig?
He would just let things be because he'd realize it was the other person and not him. I guess I resent what you said, sir, about don't piss off a Korean veteran. My dad is one of the gentlest, sweetest men you'll ever know.
Until someone was to show you his thingamajig.
Nobody's ever shown your wife his. You know,
ma'am,
that's symbolic, and that's more or less in your mind. And
ma'am,
you don't care about what these other people say. That's just gossip.
Ma'am, that guy puts an 8-foot blue spruce in his window.
I've heard all that, sir, and I don't mean to interrupt, but we don't have that much time. I'm just saying get a life and ignore him.
Look,
that's
I didn't fight for the right to have this GD guy swing his branches like he's a boogie
night. But my dad didn't fight for rights for people to put down and to me, honestly, you're putting down all the veterans.
No, ma'am, I'm not. This
yes,
guy's swinging it around like he's in boogie nights.
I don't guess I understand how the veterans of the Korean War have anything to do with this, and it's kind of
because I don't want no one swinging his thing in my wife's face like he's
personal,
in boogie nights.
Not a vet. Not,
all right.
That's a personal thing.
Right, right.
Not a veteran.
Hold on, Gail. 1-800-449-8686 with a veteran who doesn't like a guy having his Christmas tree up one day longer than the 12 nights because he thinks it's sexual. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686 is our number, and with us is Lloyd Bonafide. He's a Korean War veteran, and he, among other things, as a Korean War vet, doesn't like the fact that his neighbor didn't take his tree down or left his tree up after the 12 days of Christmas. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what are the 12 days of Christmas?
Holy Jesus.
I honestly, does that start at Christmas?
The 12 days of Christmas are the days after Christmas till the 6th of January, which is the Epiphany, and that's when you take your decorations down. Now, this guy left his up because his Christmas tree is really represents his penis, and he wants all the women to see it. See? What's so difficult about that?
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, it's difficult for you to understand it.
Yeah. Vincent, you're on a Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
Good. Listen, let's tell this guy, first of all, I came from not Reading, you know?
What?
I lived in Boston for about 70 years.
Well, who gives a sweet Jesus?
And what happened was, you want to hear about that, or you want me to talk that fellow right there?
What are you, who's speaking, please?
Wait a minute,
Vincent. What are you talking about, man? Are you talking about the guy on the ice?
Is he talking about, what do you mean, that hockey guy?
Yeah.
What about him?
What about it was this? See, I lived in Medford,
Massachusetts. This has nothing to do, Mr. Hedrick, with what we're talking about. You realize that, don't you?
Well, you're the one talking to him.
All right, let me talk to this guy here that is crazy.
How am I crazy? A guy put his penis in his tree in the window. It says it's his penis.
You know, I think that the guy showed your wife because you got a small one and she was happy to see the other guys. You know?
So you happen to think it's funny that a guy beats another guy to death on a hockey rink?
You want to hear about the hockey ring?
No, I want to hear about your penis.
All right, listen to this.
Okay.
Well, he's the guy that started...
Just shut up. Walter, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I got a few comments to say to this gentleman.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I'm retired from the Navy, 20 years. I had a little piece of Korea.
Anchors
and
away.
I had a little piece of Vietnam. And I volunteered, sir, and I was proud to go. And if the man up the street wants to put his Christmas tree up at Easter, I've got nothing to say to
it.
That's
put
the
it
reason
up at
I
Easter.
Went over there.
He put it up at Christmas time.
I don't care. He can put it up any time he wants. It's his home, for
but
God's
it
sake.
Represents...
Man, think about what you're doing there.
His tree has oversized Christmas balls on it, and that's not sexual?
No, but... that's not sexual, you idiot.
Well,
what
sir,
the hell does that have to do with sexual?
Because the guy told the woman he had an affair with up the street, he said that when I put my tree in the window, it represents the size of my thing.
Who told you that?
My wife talked to the old widow woman up
the
street.
You know what? I think your neighborhood ought to get some other hobbies there, fella. You people, that's all you got to do.
It seems like there are a bunch of yentas sort of sharing.
We're not yentas, for Jesus' sake.
The lady
said that she had an affair with this guy, Mitten, and she said he's got a big one. And he said, yeah, and watch when I put my tree up, it'll be symbolic.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Hold on. This gentleman, Walter, you know what I mean. You don't make fun of a Korean War vet. Am I right or am I wrong?
I never met one that would walk up the street and hit another man because he had a Christmas tree up in his house.
Not because he had a tree up, because it represented...
Because it represented nothing. You're listening to gossip and you made up your mind.
Absolutely.
You're a very foolish man, sir.
That's true.
And for another
I'm ashamed to say that you were a veteran. I'm not even sure that you were. You may be making that up.
For another veteran... Sir, what do you mean I'm making it up? I was there at the reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there.
Well, good for you.
Okay,
but why in the world would you go up the street and hit another man?
What reservoir was that?
Huh?
What was the name of the reservoir?
It was the Vernon Reservoir.
Oh, the what reservoir?
You know?
I happen to be a student of the Korean War. Yeah. What reservoir was it that you pulled the Marines out of?
Foreman?
Huh?
Right.
He doesn't even know the name of the reservoir.
Well, hey, Walter, you know the name of the reservoir?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I was
see,
off the
he doesn't know.
I was off the coast on aircraft carrier.
Look,
I actually wasn't in
Walter,
combat.
Let me tell you something. This guy's Christmas tree has a bunch of sap coming off of it. Now, what does that tell you?
Oh, man. This guy needs a...
I need what, huh?
Okay. Thank you. All right. It's great talking with you, man. It's called Chosin Reservoir, by the way.
That was the one.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On Friday's show, Dr. Jim Sadler was a hockey coach and a hockey writer, and he was talking about hockey and the fact his kid was so great, and yet the hockey coach just didn't play his kid. Anyway, it was all about that guy in Massachusetts and the other guy, and here it is.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
This guy's got some serious issues. I mean, he's definitely got double standards. He's... If it was his kid that was out there, he would say, you know, hey, get out of the way, coach. Put my kid in there. But then now he's saying as a coach, hey, get your family back. Get away.
If I was a parent, first of all, I have an exceptional son. I've got a son who's a great hockey player. And it's just that coaches don't want to play him because they say he's no good. But I know he's good.
You know he's good because he's good in your eyes. But apparently he's not good enough to play in the coach's eyes.
Well, he's going to be the
there's
next.
Other teams, there's other players up for the team that are better than your son.
No, he's going to be the next.
That.
Wing.
That's fine.
He's going to be
fine.
The next Wayne Gretzky.
You think your son's the greatest? I think my son's the greatest.
But
you know
is.
What?
But the
bottom
difference
line,
is,
you got issues, buddy.
But the difference is, you think your son's the greatest. My son really is.
Okay.
You know.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm sure he's the greatest at something. You know, his mother's the greatest at something. She's the greatest at giving out a room number to hockey players, you schmuck.
Excuse me, but my wife was taken advantage of.
Oh, okay.
Well, what are you saying now?
Taken advantage of 20 times. One time is rape. 20 times, that's a freebie.
Wait a second.
Sorry, you got issues.
Hold on.
You got issues, pal. Your wife's a whore. She slept around with 20 men.
You know why you're saying that? Because my kid's a better athlete than yours. That's why you're saying
No,
you're upset. You're jealous.
That's fine.
You're jealous.
Oh, he's jealous.
Oh, absolutely. I'm jealous because I didn't get a turn of that doorknob called your wife.
You know, boy. You know, I took anger management in the 70s, so.
And you needed to. Especially, you know.
I need to.
And why you put up with your wife sleeping around on you like that with 20 men.
My wife doesn't sleep around. My wife doesn't sleep around. She, all right, one night. She had an error in judgment.
Well, now your story's changing. Before you, it's all the hockey player's fault. It's all the hockey player's fault. Now it's your wife had an error in judgment. That is absolutely correct.
Well, it's
don't put it on the hockey players or the men.
Well,
wife chose to make that bed and lie in it. Now don't blame it on the men.
Well, it's
because
mostly
men are men. You know what? They think with the head to stomp between their legs.
It's mostly the hockey player's fault. No American football player, basketball player is going to do this. Hockey players are degenerate.
Well, right? I mean, come on now. What was it? Was it Magic Johnson? I mean,
I'm just saying that. No,
that's the real name for him, right? Magic Johnson. What was it? Like 1,200?
No, I didn't say. I didn't say Magic.
Women or something
I said that. I said that hockey players are degenerate. Basketball players are not.
What do you mean?
Oh,
the guy just said Will Chamberlain, whoever it was, slept with 13,000 women.
Yeah, Will Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, one of those guys. Kareem, yeah.
My wife was very intoxicated, and the two waitresses talked her into it.
Now it's turning back to being it was a woman's thing, not necessarily a hockey degenerate, as you
exactly.
call them.
You know the problem with you, Mr. Sadler.
Don't tell me what the problem with me is.
Yes, I will tell you the problem with you is that you think the sun rises and sets on your kid. You think that your wife's sexual indiscretion has to do with 20 hockey players, and you think that this guy that beat up that other dude had a right to because he. You know what I think? I think you're a mental case. Okay.
That's what everybody says. That's what everybody says because they don't want to understand the truth.
Yeah, everybody says you're nuts.
Yeah, because they don't want to understand.
Okay, well then, if everybody says
you live in a rubber room.
rubber room, huh? You know, let me tell you something, Jimmy.
Tell me something, buddy.
You come around me, and you're gonna have an ass full of car. I'll come over to the studio and kick your ass.
I'm not at the studio, pal.
Well, who's at the studio?
I am. The host.
Oh, yeah, the host is at the studio. Where are you?
Never mind.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
All right, there it is. And the first ever Phil Henry listening party is going to be happening the 22nd through the 24th. It's going to be in Las Vegas. It's going to be something else, man. Our listener party is the first ever for the Phil Henry show. I understand the people that will be there will be a little bit bent, and that's as it should be, because the show itself is a little bit bent. I mean, come on. It's a host who does voices of other people, and people call in and think they're talking to a real guy. Imagine that. Oh, yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, I wanted to call back.
We already finished our conversation with you.
Huh?
We already finished our conversation with you.
No, I wanted to ask you about the Phil Henry listening party, if I could. This isn't about the other thing. No.
You were talking about some guy with a big penis or...
No, I don't want to talk about that.
What do you want?
I want to ask you about the Phil Henry show listening party you're going to have there in Las Vegas. My wife and I will be in the Anza Borrega next month, and then we're planning on coming up to Laughlin. Want to go to the listening party.
Yeah.
And I want to know, does the Las Vegas Hilton, do they stub out the 3/4-inch gas line for the RV unit, or is that only the 1/4-inch?
The what?
I said there's a group of us coming up from the Anza Borrega right after the Dinosaur, and we wanted to come in to Laughlin, but we'll make the trip extra up north if the Las Vegas Hilton stubs in the 3/4-inch gas line.
What do you mean I don't understand.
For the caravan, for the RVs.
You got an RV?
Yes, sir. I want to come up, see if the Las Vegas Hilton stubs in the
3/4-inch gas line. So how many of you are there?
We're the Happy Wanderers. There's probably about 40 or 50 of us. And we want to buy the double occupancy package. Actually, no, we don't. We want to sleep in our RVs and take advantage of the show for free. So we were wondering...
Yeah, thanks a lot, old man.
Don't you hang up on me. I'm a Korean War veteran.
Okay, so anyway, the first ever Phil Henry listening party at the Las Vegas Hilton VIP check-in. Now, what does that mean? It means you won't be treated like scum. You come to the hotel, they go, oh, well, Mr. Taylor, how are you, sir? Come this way. Well, actually, I work on the show. I'm Craig Taylor, the engineer. Well, in that case, you can go to the back of the line. Friday, February 22nd to the 24th, I'm going to broadcast my show live. So we'll be hanging out together there on Friday night. And I'll be doing a show, and then, you know, we have a little Q&A during the show, and after the show, you guys can hang out there. That's a beautiful thing, but that's not all. Then we're going to have the following evening a cocktail reception, and that's where we really kind of shoot the crap, have a couple of pops, do a little gambling, however you want to do it. We'll eat some dinner. A three-quarter inch gas line. I got that on the brain now. It's a three-course dinner.
So there is 3/4-inch gas, huh? I knew that there was...
It'll be a three-course dinner, and then you'll have dancing afterwards. There'll be free soft drinks. There's a cash bar. Now, while you're at the beautiful Las Vegas Hilton, you get, of course, our $379 based on double occupancy package, 3 days and two nights. A lot of people say, what does that mean, based on double occupancy? That means two of you. Two of you come to the Las Vegas Hilton that week, $379 for two people. Two people, $379. 3 days and two nights for two at the Las Vegas Hilton. You also get match and play gambling. You bet the up to $10, and the Hilton will match your bet. You get a Park Place Entertainment coupon book valued at $1,000. You get 2-for-1 at the world-famous Hilton Spa, 2-for-1 show tickets to Sheena Easton, 2 free tickets to the Star Trek Experience, 3-course dinner. I mentioned that, didn't I? I mean, what in the heck can you possibly be missing? What could this package possibly be missing that it doesn't already have, you know?
How about a senior discount? And I'm a creep.
So come on to the Phil Henry listening party. That's on the 22nd to the 24th in Las Vegas, Nevada at the beautiful Las Vegas Hilton. Here's the number to call. Write it down. Scribble it down. 1-888-1-888. Excuse me. 1-888-445-8844. That number again is 1-888-445-8844. 1-888-445-8844. Ask for the Phil Henry package. You'll love it. I always wish we have a musical stinger there, something that sort of separates the promo pitch from the now the rest of the show. I don't know what it could possibly be, but we'll think of something here. Our number is 1-800-449-86. How about this? And now, back to the show. Okay. And now it's time for the Phil Hendry Show. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And welcome back. So get a load of this. You're going to like this story. This is an interesting Saturday, Maria's birthday, my wife's birthday. And so she had a party for herself and some friends over at our house. So she didn't want any creeps hanging around, meaning men. So me and the three boys took off. So I piled the three guys into the car, and a little girl, she stayed with her mom for part of the day and then, you know, went off and did some girl things. But anyway, she says, well, why don't you take the boys and can head out? I said, okay. So we get in the car, and I said, this will be a great opportunity for you guys to see my hometown of Arcadia. Now, these boys grew up in the Westlake Thousand Oaks area of the suburban Los Angeles, you know, area. And it's a pretty... Westlake Thousand Oaks, I would say it's a middle-class to upper-middle-class area. There are some very nice homes, very nice incomes. You can drive through the neighborhoods and look at all the money that's piled on the driveway there. It's called a car. And all the beautiful golf courses. My God, there's like three or four private clubs. It's just this, and they've been to private schools their whole life. Well, I grew up in a middle-class town, Arcadia. Arcadia actually is split in half by Huntington Drive, which runs right into downtown Los Angeles and goes as far east as, well, Chicago, actually, because it's part of the old Route 66. It literally goes all the way, Huntington Drive, you take that street, it goes all the way to Chicago. So south of Huntington is sort of the middle to lower middle class part of Arcadia, and north is a little bit nicer. My life in Arcadia was spent on both sides of the track. When I was very young, I started out down on 7th Avenue, and then as I got older, my father made a little more money, and then he lost his job, and back down below Huntington we went. So I kind of took them around to the old places that I grew up in, and the Foster's Freeze that I used to hang out at, the pastrami place that I used to ride my bike up to and get food, and the liquor store where I used to go in and get Cokes, places like that. And you would have thought that I was driving them through Watts. They were just amazed. Look, there's all a lot of Hondas and Nissans and stuff. They thought they were driving through the ghetto. I was stunned. I said, you guys are going to be putting me on, right? No, I mean, look at that. God, look at that, and look at that, and look at that. Yeah, that's called a store, and that's another. What is this, these old stores? They're stores, man. They weren't built back in 1998. They were built back in 1948, but they're stores and bars and places like that, you know. So I threatened to just drop them off on a street and leave them there. I was just going to say, why don't you guys get out and take a look, closer look at that building? Why, certainly. And take off. But by the time we left and rolled back home, they had me believing that I was raised in absolute poverty. They had me believing that I was raised in absolute abject poverty, except for one thing. Arcadia has peacocks. I mean, the peacock birds wander around the streets of that town because they were brought there by one of the original inhabitants. And the kids thought the peacocks were cool and were feeding them and stuff, except one of the kids stepped in peacock crap and walked it into my brand new car. And you know how long it's going to take me to get peacock crap out of the interior of my car?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
A note written by a 15-year-old boy who crashed a Cessna into a Tampa office building indicated he supported Osama bin Laden and that the act was deliberate, according to authorities. Now, this is a 15-year-old kid. He might have been depressed. He might have been, well, he might have been. He most probably was, going through a personal angst fairly typical of 15-year-olds that he took to a suicidal extent. Maybe, you know, that's just speculation on my part, and maybe I shouldn't be speculating, but I mean, that's my opinion, and I'm sure that I bet you money this guy wasn't some huge supporter of Osama bin Laden. It probably has no significance at all other than the fact the kid was depressed. But if you didn't hear the story, it was a 15-year-old kid who crashed a Cessna into a Tampa office building over the weekend. And we wanted to bring Art Griego on. He's over at the Wing Club in Santa Monica right now. Art, how are you? And thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Phil.
So what I just said about this 15-year-old kid, does that make sense?
Well, I don't want to comment really, Phil, directly on what happened to him, but I can comment on pilots and on flyers, and I've flown for 26 years. I'm a former commercial pilot. I own a private plane now, and the plain fact is flying is a very nerve-wracking thing, and I think if anything any pilot goes through, whether he crashes or he doesn't crash, is it's nerve-wracking.
It is. You mean it's a nervous experience?
It's about as nerve-wracking for as nerve-wracking as it is for a passenger. It's doubly so for a pilot.
Well, this 15-year-old boy who crashed the Cessna into the Tampa office building, no doubt there is nerves involved there.
Well, you get up there, and you try and keep your nerves calm. I don't think what happened. I don't know what happened to this kid, but I think what most of the time is happening with pilots who fly their planes into structures, into fixed structures. You get up there, you try and keep your nerves calm, but there are those moments when the reality of the situation kicks in, and that's what we call World War II pilots used to describe it as gremlins.
And I'm sorry, excuse me, gremlins?
Gremlin, what we call a gremlin on my mind. And it's very common for you to suddenly get up there and experience a level of anxiety and fear when you suddenly look out the window and realize what it is you're doing. You're up in the air. There's nothing holding you up. You're in an 8-ton tin can, and you realize I may be flying, but what's making me stay up in the air? And you panic, and the first thing you do is you consider taking your own life. That's how fearful, Phil, it can be.
Now, wait a minute. You're a pilot, and you're flying, and you consider flying your plane into a building because you're afraid.
That is how extreme. The fear is so overwhelming, and the natural thing to do is to look around for a building or any tall structure and just steer the aircraft into it.
We're talking with Art Griego. He's a former commercial pilot, now a private pilot, about the events in Tampa over the weekend. You're not saying, you don't want to comment on this 15-year-old kid, but you're saying that a pilot who flies his plane into a building has taken his own life on purpose?
I'm telling you, I don't know specifically about any situation. I'm telling you what I've experienced, what other pilots I know have experienced. Every pilot, at least once during every flight, contemplates taking his own life because if he goes into the gremlin on my mind panic. And gremlin on my mind means that the gremlins, in World War II, the old World War II pilots used to see gremlins out of the wing.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. Is that what the Twilight Zone episode is based on?
That's what it was. And suddenly, you panic because you're afraid the plane's going to crash. What happens nowadays is pilots suddenly start thinking, I'm up in the air. What? Oh, my God. They'll look out. They'll see there's nothing under the plane. How is this plane doing this? And the fear is so extreme. The first tall structure you see, you want to fly right into it.
Are you saying once in every flight?
I'm on average, not every single flight, but on average, you always keep that option. It's as crazy as it is, you keep the option open. I would rather fly into a hillside than have to contemplate what's making this plane stay up in the air.
1-800-449-8686. Art Griego, a private pilot and former commercial pilot, talking about what would cause any pilot to willingly fly an aircraft into any fixed structure. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You flew commercially. Was it common then for you?
When I flew commercially, it was very common during an L.A. to New York run, for instance, Phil, to get gremlin. You've heard of streamlined. We used to call it getting gremlined or gremlined. And you'd be out over the Rockies, and you suddenly start thinking about what is it you're doing. And right at that moment, you'd rather take your chances crash landing in the Rockies. And if it's another one of those soccer team deals, that's so be it. And that's what you're thinking about.
Now, when you say another one of the soccer team deals, you're talking about what?
About the
crash in the Andes.
That is correct.
There was a plane crash in the Andes where members of a soccer team were found alive.
Well, you say found alive. Yeah, it was after they ate one of their teammates. But I'm a...
Well, I know the story, but the fact is you're saying that pilots would consider crashing their plane into the Rockies and taking their chances with cannibalizing each other rather than continue a flight.
That is how extreme the fear gets, yeah. And that happens to every pilot. Now, what happened to this 15-year-old kid? I don't know. Let's speculate. Let's say he was up in the air taking a joyride in an aircraft that he had just appropriated or absconded with at the airport. Let's say suddenly he's flying around some high structures, and he suddenly it dawns on him, oh, my God, what's keeping this plane up in the air? It's a panic situation. And the fear is so extreme, he looks over, sees a building, and says, the hell with it, and turns it right into the building.
It can happen that quick.
It can happen that quick. The older or younger, the more susceptible the pilot is. The older a pilot is, Phil, his mind or his memory is beginning to go, and he may forget what makes an airplane fly. So a older pilot might be up there. And
Wait a minute. How old are you talking? You got a pilot up in the air who's a senior citizen?
A senior citizen, yeah. And he may have deteriorating memory, and he may suddenly think, well, how is it that a plane flies? I can't remember. And then he'll want to kill himself. The same thing goes with...
And what about the younger ones?
The younger ones, the memory is not as fresh in them either. So, look, something very tragic happened, Phil, a few years back. That little girl crashed. If you don't believe me, do you remember the story, Jessica Dubroff?
Yeah, that was the 7-year-old with her father.
Right, that was trying to go around the world. She goes from just finishing going doo-doo by herself, and now they want her to fly an aircraft. Now, that is nuts. Everybody knows a kid is going to forget what makes a plane fly quicker than an older pilot. It was natural for her to want to just crash the plane rather than live with the uncertainty of not knowing what makes a plane go up in the air. Now,
Wait a minute. Jessica Dubroff was the little 7-year-old who that was an accident.
Okay.
You're telling me she did it on purpose?
I'm saying that it's possible she did it on purpose, not knowing what makes a plane fly and panicking. See, that's what I'm saying. See, everybody forgets that.
Well, I do remember the story, and it was very tragic. That was 5 years ago this past spring. She was attempting around the world or something?
That's right, with her father. And then she's 7 years old. The plane takes off. She goes, how come the plane go up in air? Bang, takes it right down, crashes it, because she doesn't know. And I tried to impanel this spring.
How come plane go up in air?
No, I don't know why she'd say that.
What's going on this spring? I know there was a seminar you wanted to do.
I tried to impanel a seminar with some top pilots to discuss whether or not we shouldn't just leave flying to the birds and return to earthbound transportation. At least let the passengers know when they board the plane by way of a leaflet that the pilot is frightened and there's the possibility that the plane will fly into a fixed freestanding structure. They didn't want me to have this seminar. Why? Because they said I was mentally disturbed. And this is what the government does when they want to keep information from people. So otherwise, the passengers, I'm sure, would not be resting too easy back there.
All right. Art Griego is with us with some information about flying. Pilots, private pilots, commercial pilots experience something called gremlin on my mind, which is when you suddenly have an anxiety attack about what makes a plane fly, and you purposefully fly it into a building or a freestanding fixed structure, as they say. Is that what happened with that Tampa, Florida kid? Do pilots fly their planes into hillsides or into silos because they suddenly are frightened that they don't know what's making them stay up in the air? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego, a 26-year veteran of flight. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
15-year-old boy flew a Cessna into a building in Tampa. According to Art Griego, he's a former commercial pilot. You're not saying that this was the case with this kid in Tampa, but sometimes pilots get so full of anxiety about what makes a plane fly.
That is correct, yeah, Phil.
That they will purposefully ditch it or fly it into a freestanding structure, as you put it?
Yeah, the anxiety is such that a pilot... look, Phil, I flew for 26 years, and I can tell you that there isn't a pilot out there that doesn't, at least a few times during the course of a year, look around and say, you know, I mean, it's crazy, but you'll say, how the hell am I doing this? Look at the planes up in the air. And
don't they know about lift? Don't they know about...
intellectually, yeah, but when you get up there, you're like, Jesus, God, help me. God, help me. That's all you can think. I'll tell you what, as you bring a plane in to land, it is common for a pilot, as the plane is coming in and probably not more than, I'd say, 50 feet off the ground for the pilot to just want to put his hands over his eyes.
You're kidding.
No, I am not.
Put his hands over his eyes. Why?
Because he can't believe that he's going to land this plane.
Good God.
I know. That's how nuts it is. That's how much anxiety is flying through the cockpit.
1-800-449-8686. Art Griego, former commercial pilot, with some revelations, I guess, about flying. Here is Sheila on the Phil Henry Show. Sheila?
I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Art, my God, why did you ever become a pilot? We trust these people that are transporting us all over the world, and it's like if you didn't have the confidence to know that you were going to take care of the people.
No,
this
is common among all pilots. Sheila, I don't know what you know about it, but all pilots go through this level of anxiety.
Okay, well, when they reach that level of anxiety, to me, that's a point to where they need to think about their career, a career move.
Well, okay, great.
Because
anything else?
You know,
tell me something
that
I don't know, Sheila, okay?
Sir?
Tell me something I don't know.
I mean,
you got 300 passengers
in
a tin bird 3,000 feet in the air. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's enough to... You're gonna lose your mud.
Okay, well, all
you start
I know
thinking
is the
about
pilots
it, okay?
That I know.
The pilots
they,
that you know.
They are trained.
It's one thing knowing a pilot, and it's another thing being one.
Well, I understand that,
all
but,
right,
you know, they're trained over the years to have confidence. And, I mean, it's when all these crashes that have been going on, that's one thing that they will not do is they don't want to crash into a populated area.
Well, Sheila, until you've actually been a pilot, all bets are off on that.
So you've actually been a pilot, you don't know how pilots feel. I mean, what do you mean when they're coming in for a landing?
Pilots, many are so insecure about landing an aircraft, it's common for them to say, oh, please, God, help me, just before the plane touches down.
Well, that's a normal response.
One hand over your eyes and the other hand on the yoke.
Well, I understand. I think that's
right.
A normal response, but
of course,
tell you what,
of course.
I don't see anybody.
You understand that a pilot is going to want to logically put his hands over his eyes because you're thinking, dear God, help me, am I going to be able to land this?
On a commercial flight, as I'm coming in for a landing on any one of my flights.
It's possible that when you are
like when my wife and I flew to New York recently.
The pilot might have put his hands over his eyes.
As he was landing there at Newark.
Absolutely not.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
That is the craziest thing.
Ma'am, I am telling you, if you're not a pilot, then I don't know why I'm wasting my time.
Okay, well, let me tell you, Art.
If I'm landing at Newark, and as we're coming in, the pilot goes, oh, my dear God, help me, and puts his hands over his eyes.
Yes, for a couple of seconds, yes. And then regains his confidence, and he's back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do you know how scary that is for me to hear that?
Well, I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying that I did.
You did?
Yes, and a lot of the guys I flew with, yeah.
Here is Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin?
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Mr. Griego. I don't know where he's been flying airplanes, but he's an absolute lunatic. I've been a military pilot and a commercial pilot for over 50 years.
All right, well,
years.
I'm just saying that pilots are filled with fear.
I think he's wrong. I've been flying airplanes for 15 years, and we don't wonder what makes airplanes fly. And
you
don't
close maybe.
Our eyes just
you don't.
Land.
You don't.
And I've
okay.
trained.
I know
I've
pilots.
Dozens,
I know when I'm a passenger on a flight.
Mil-
I know when I'm a passenger on a flight, and we fly over a national landmark.
You don't know what you're talking
we're a,
about.
We are
you're
a rat hair away from taking that thing down.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I don't. Maybe you don't fear it, but a lot of the guys that I flew with.
I don't know. I've
Who are the guys that you flew with?
A lot of guys that had combat.
Pilots,
a lot of guys that
have,
were shell shocked. I'm
well,
sorry. What'd you say?
Wait. You said you flew with a lot of guys that were what?
Battle fatigue.
Guys that were washed out because they were wacko?
I didn't say that, did I? I said that I flew with a lot of guys that had a few problems.
Here is Ted on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
I'm a tractor driver, a tractor trailer driver. That's what I do for a living.
Oh, there you go. That qualifies you to talk about flying.
No, let me speak.
That's
let me
perfect.
Get my piece out once. Okay, I have a lot of people's lives in my hands. Maybe not 300 at a time.
But about 300 pigs, I'm sure.
When I'm hauling 30 tons,
30 tons
of, grain,
of cow.
Will you okay. let him say something, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's
if
he hauling?
Going,
300 head of steer? I'm
okay,
hauling people.
If I'm going down the highway and I'm carrying, you know, 30,000 pounds or whatever, and I'm driving 70 miles an hour.
And you suddenly
never,
don't know
ever,
what makes the
ever.
Truck go forward.
Can I please speak?
Let the man finish, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay, I've never, ever, I've been doing it 18 years. I've never contemplated running into somebody or taking my own life or killing kind of people because I'm a professional.
That's because
that's
manure,
what I do for a
when
living.
You flip your truck, manure doesn't die. All right?
When I flip
little,
my truck,
little,
I can kill 100
people. Little
moo cow
creamers don't die when you flip your truck. But people in my aircraft can die. And
you
so,
should have never been a pilot if you ever had that doubt in your mind. You,
yeah,
you have
that,
people's
that
lives
be.
In your hands.
That may be, but I know if I'm driving a truck, I know that if I flip it, the tires that I'm carrying aren't going to die.
You, didn't,
so,
you don't know listening to me. If I'm what? On the highway, if I'm on the Florida Turnpike in rush hour traffic, and I decided to just veer off one way or the other, I could kill 50 people easily.
That's nothing
easily.
Near 300.
How can you even measure 50, 100, 60, 70?
Obviously, there's more people related to 300 people than there are 50. That translates into more in terms of insurance dollars. That,
will you listen to what this man is saying? The loss of human life is the loss of human life.
You can't
if you're
count
in a plane,
on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You can't say when you're behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler and you see an old lady with a walker that you don't think about taking her down.
I have never thought of that. Never in my life.
What a lie.
Oh, come on, maybe you would.
And I'm not a real religious person or anything like that. But I think if I wasn't 100% secure with what I did, I wouldn't do it. I'd find something else. I wouldn't ever doubt it. I'd go to something else right away. I'd find something else to do.
What is the anxiety? What is the anxiety? I just want to ask Ted for a minute.
Yeah.
I want to ask Art. What is the anxiety that you feel when you're up there?
You just think, oh, how come God's letting me fly when only birds do it? Oh,
I would think a pilot would have so much training. So
you do.
Much training.
You have tons of training. I know how to take it off. I know how to land it. But still, when I'm landing, I want to just for a split second put both hands over each eye and just open my fingers and take a peek out.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is nuts, man.
That's
I know.
Ludicrous.
Yes, it is.
There, you should never fly, and you should have never flown.
Have you
if
ever taken your
bad.
Have you ever taken your hands off the wheel of your truck to light a cigarette?
Never.
Not even to light a cigarette.
Never. Not once.
Not to take a sip of a beer.
Not once. Not once.
Mr. Hendry,
when
how about
I drive,
you?
I pay attention.
Well,
100%.
Probably to drink a beer. I mean, no, I never have.
Huh?
All right. Thanks, Ted. 1-800-449-8686. Some pilots don't know what makes the plane fly, and they consider just flying it right into a building. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With Art Griego, he's a former commercial pilot. In a moment, he's going to tell us about having the anxiety called gremlin on my mind and what would make a commercial pilot or a private pilot want to fly his plane into a grain silo. Here is Ellen on the Phil Henry Show. Ellen?
Hi. I'd like to speak to Mr. Griego about that.
Yes, ma'am. This is Art Griego.
Sir, I think you're a screwball, an A1 screwball, and I never in my life heard of such ridiculous comments.
What
if we all said that about people who drive in a car?
It's different because with a plane, it goes way, way down to the ground and blows up. A car, it can just stall.
Oh, come on. You're cuckoo. You know why you
have cuckoo?
Experiences?
A car stalls. A car stalls on the side of the road. It doesn't blow up. If a plane stalls, it goes.
Excuse me.
And then you don't see your grandkids in the Northeast.
You have hung around people, you admitted, that had problems. And that is the
reason
that they...
That's right. You did, Mr. Griego. You said that the pilots you have flown with had battle fatigue.
All right, a couple
and
of them.
And he's a nut.
Oh, so in other words, a guy's not allowed to take a drink. Is that it?
What?
Are you telling me a man's not allowed to have a drink?
Flying on a plane?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say? Well, you know, whoever gave you your license. Whoever gave you your license should be as guilty as you are.
Why? Because of the fact. Why? If you fly to.
You're a real screwball.
Lady, you're not a pilot. You don't know.
Wait a minute, what are you saying the pilots drink?
The ones I flew with. Oh, so the passengers are the only ones that get to have a cocktail.
Were you ever on drugs?
Huh?
Mr. Griego, were you ever on drugs?
Which kind?
Coke? Anything like that?
I wouldn't mind popping a party on a flight. When I partied with flight attendants. When I partied with some flight attendants, yeah.
You know what? You're definitely not 100%. I really mean it.
And all of a sudden,
you've got a problem.
You belong
in the loony bin.
What are you, the FAA all of a sudden? So all of a sudden, what are you, the FAA? You're telling me who's fit to fly and who isn't?
You are an A1 screwball.
Look, Ellen, let me ask you a question. When you were on the beach with the Wright brothers and they were flying that plane, weren't you afraid for them?
You know, you got a problem.
You're a real smartass, huh? You're a nut.
You're a nut with a capital N. You're a nut. And it's an insult to every other pilot who really knows what they're doing.
Nut is spelled N-U-T, not M-U-T.
Well,
capital
you're both.
M.
You're a nut
she
and a
She said
mutt.
A nut.
She said mutt.
I
she said,
said
nut. A
nut.
No, she nut.
You don't, apparently you don't hear well.
Apparently you can't spell nut. It's
N-U-T. We heard what she said.
She won't answer my question.
You not only have a problem with your brain, but you have a problem with your hearing.
Ellen,
that's why you had a problem up there in the plane.
When the Wright brothers launched their plane on that beach, where were you?
Where was I? Probably in my mother's belly.
I don't get it.
She wasn't born yet.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, come on, mister. Get into a loony bin. You're a screwball. You hear me?
Look, let me tell you something, Ellen. If you were a passenger on one of my planes,
insult.
I'd have you restrained.
I would have you restrained
with duct tape.
No, you should have been restrained against. You should not have been in the pilot's chair. You should have been restrained.
It's called a cockpit, not a pilot's chair.
Whatever it is,
all
you
right.
should not
Thank
have been
you very
in
much.
There.
Nobody buys
you
this whole
know
gremlin
what you're
on
doing.
My mind thing.
I
you
had gremlins.
Are...
You look out the wing of a plane and you see a gremlin taking your engine apart. What are you going to do? I belly flopped a 737 in the desert and saved the lives. And this is something you won't give me credit for, I'm sure, Ellen. I saved the lives of 67 people because I looked out on that wing and I saw a gremlin taking the engine apart. I did the only thing I could do, land it in the desert.
You know why? You got fantasies.
What do you mean you saw a gremlin? What is that, a Twilight Zone episode?
They got that from me. I went...
Okay, 1-800-44...
Now you're going to hang up on me. See, this is what they told me. They said they wouldn't give me my license because they said I was nuts. And the reason why they said I was nuts is because they don't want the truth. I used to keep an extra pair of pants in the cockpit to change into after landing because I crap my pants each landing, Ellen. And I would suggest the same for you.
What a sick guy. What a sicko.
Yeah, he's mental.
Hey, pal, you're a sicko.
Just get another
You're an insult to every other pilot that we know.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Shut up.
We'll be right back.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this kid that flew the plane into the building, and they're trying to make something out of the possibility that he is of Arab descent, and they wanted to look into that, and they wanted to look into whether he... had some sympathies for Osama bin Laden. And this is just a kid that flew a plane into a building. I mean, it was a copycat. It was like in the 60s when Sylvia Plath, that poetess, committed suicide, and there were like thousands of American teenage girls committing suicide because she was, it was the same thing. It's just a messed up kid who had an airplane, that's all. Just a messed up kid who had an airplane. I'm shocked and stunned that it took this long. America being the sort of copycat country that it is, doesn't that amaze you that it's been October, November, December, January? 4 months and somebody actually tried to do the same thing that those guys did at the World Trade Center. I could have sworn it would have happened sooner than now. That's a sad story just based on this. The kid had what? What kind of relationship did he have with his mother and his father? There's the questions you ought to be answering. Not that I want to get too heavy-osity here, but... I mean, where was the mom? Where was the dad? What's the thing? What's going on with that kid's life? Forget about whether he thought Osama bin Laden was any good or not. Hell, on any given day, I may think Osama bin Laden's a good guy, you know? I mean, it just depends on what side of the bed I'm falling out of. But this kid had bigger fish to fry and way bigger problems than his political affiliation. Apparently went to the airport accompanied by his mother and grandmother. His instructor left him at the plane to perform a pre-flight inspection. He had no authority to get in the plane alone, and then he took off, and there you go. You know, what's the average age for a driver's license in America? Is it 15 and a half, 15? State of California, 15 and a half, you get your permit. 16, you get your license. Now, I know in some states, depending on whether, and I'm serious, depending on whether they allow tractor traffic or not, it can be like 14. Because some states, they need a kid to get out and tend to the North 40. I mean, they give you a license when you're 12. But I don't see the burning need for a kid to get his pilot's license much before 18. I could be going out on a limb here. I don't know. Maybe there's some states the kids got to get up in crop dust in the morning. All right, go on, get up there. God damn it, I don't give a sweet Jesus. Well, Grandpa, I only have my permit. Get up there in crop dust. And while you're at it, fly into a building. I really don't see the burning need for a kid to get his license. Although I know we live in a country where we don't want the government off of our back and we need to have freedom and... Yam, 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 yam. But I don't dig where a guy has to have his pilot's license much before 18. Matter of fact, I don't really see much need for a pilot's license before you're 21, do you? It ain't like a car you got to get from here to there. The plane, not unless they get that George Jetson flying thing going. You know, the flying car that I've been campaigning for? Man, I'm telling you, that George Jetson flying car, they ever get that thing going? Every rendering of the future that I see has some flying car. Now, what's the latest? The new movie that's coming out is a futuristic... Oh, the one with Gary Sinise. And it's about 70 years in the future or something. You know, it's called Imposter. And he lives in the United States in the future. And it's the typical trailer with the guy who does the whatever his name is, that one guy with the voice, you know, in a world 70 years in the future. You know that guy? And sure enough, they show it, and there's the flying car. Now, it's 2001, man. We ain't got it yet. And I can guarantee it. Huh? It's 2002, and we ain't got it yet. Do you know that we're well past all those years where they said all the crap was going to hit the fan? 1984, nothing happened. 2001, boring. Well, I mean boring from the standpoint of anything good happening. And here we are in 2002. Now, there ain't no year left. We pretty much just blasted right on through all the predictions, all those, you know, prognosticators, right? And unless you want to think of 2010, which was a bad movie, then there is 2019, which was Blade Runner's year. Then there's, I don't know. What was the year with that Haley Joel Osment, that AI? Who cares? 49. Yeah, 1849. So you know what I'm saying? In other words, it's goofy that none of that crap comes true. I wish to God we were better at predicting our own future. I really do. Because we'd have the flying car thing. We'd be living about 8 miles up in those big stilt houses. We'd have, you know, I could step outside and there'd be a cloud there. I'd have that robot made. I'd have that conveyor belt that hits me at the door as I walk in. Honey, I'm home, and it just takes me right into the kitchen. How lazy do you have to be Guy can't even walk to his kitchen. He's on a conveyor belt. And it takes the hat off my head, takes the briefcase out of my hand, got Rosie the robot and the dog, and got Jane the wife and my teenage daughter who's still listening to Frankie Avalon. There you go. That's what they did to Disneyland, by the way. They took Tomorrowland and turned it into the 1950s version of the future. Retroland. Is that what they call it now? Retroland? That's what they got to call it, Retroland. It's cool. You go to Tomorrowland, and it's like it's 1956. They're showing you those three-wheel cars. Oh. All that goofy House of the Future stuff, which they have at Epcot. There's only one thing I saw at House of the Future that's very cool. Here it is. This is cool. They got a machine. I will buy this as soon as it's commercially available. I will buy this. They got a machine. You put in two slices of bread. You put in three eggs uncracked. You just close the door on all of it. And in the morning, it just, your scrambled eggs are cooked for you. All you do is you put in the bread, you put in the eggs, you just throw the bacon in there too. And in the morning, there's a plate with the bacon all lined up, the eggs. I'm telling you, I saw it at this Epcot. It's the greatest. Now, there's another machine they got, but I'm sure this ain't cheap. You have a remote in your car, and you flick the remote switch, and the lights come on in your house, and your stereo starts, and your microwave starts, like you put your dinner in there when you left in the morning. Everything, by the time you hit the door, the lights are on, the music's on, and your dinner's cooked. And you did that by hitting a button 3 miles out. Oh, you can do that with your computer already? Okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. By the way, the big auto show is coming to Los Angeles, the Greater L.A. Auto Show. Why'd you give me this, Janice? What's going on? The colors of your car depict who you are? Oh, we are so past that. That's going to be a stiff. This 9/11, in hindsight, such a good thing because it's flushed so many vanities, you know.
Ruby Red is really my sort of take on just the whole international thing. And I've got the S-Series Mercedes, Ruby Red, just like Dorothy's slippers. Ooh.
Okay, thanks. Alex, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey there. What's going on? I'm Alex.
Got it. What do you want?
Not a whole lot of crap, man. What do you think of that Segway scooter, man? And you think that's good?
Here is Tucson on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Joel.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good.
I was just calling because you reminded me of the futuristic movies that we watched in the past, where it was supposed to be all futuristic. And I was thinking about Danny Glover's big flick Predator 2, where we had sci-fi guns and computers, and it was 1997.
How about Predator?
Predator also. But Predator 2 was like the future, and it was supposed to be set in 1997, the future.
Oh, yeah. When did that movie come out, Predator?
It was in the 80s.
89ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Strange Days was 99. Oh, sure. Did you see that?
I'm also waiting for the flying car.
All right, brother.
All right,
thanks for calling. Did you see Strange Days? I couldn't figure that movie out. All I know is there's a big lip lock at the end between Angela Bassett and Ralph Fiennes, or is it Ralph Fiennes? And it's just some cop, and there's a video games the guy's trafficking in. Oh, please. 1-800-449-8686. That number again, 1-800-449-8686. That's how you talk to me. This is the Phil Hendry Show, where I do the voices of all the guests, and then people call during the segment and go,
The voice of the guy that he's doing tonight sounds like the guy that he did last night.
Okay. Here is Sandy on the Phil Hendry Show. Sandy?
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Fine.
Well, that's a shock.
Yeah, doing
so what
good.
Can we do for you, ma'am?
Oh, I was just listening to you, going over, the whole Jetsons thing and, the lazy guy syndrome. And it just took me back to, my everyday life, my husband and... And just got a kick out of it. Wanted to say I enjoy your show. My mother enjoys your show.
Took you back to your everyday life, huh?
Yeah.
Your husband and,
well
we won't go there.
He's the man on the planet.
He's the what?
Kind of thing. And, if he had the conveyor belt through the house.
Is he living? Is he working?
Oh, yeah, he works.
Oh, okay.
But, like you said, he goes to work. He comes home. He's got the conveyor belt, the robot.
He does. Your husband has this.
Well, he, pretty much. I'm the robot. The only thing he's lacking is the conveyor belt.
What's he do for a living?
My husband is a senior systems engineer.
Oh, okay. So this guy he's got some serious smarts going on.
Yeah, right.
Does he wear a hat to work?
Actually, no.
How many dads wear hats to work anymore?
I don't know. I, I didn't have a dad, so.
Oh, you never had a dad? Well, they're male, and they come about 6 foot tall. All right, Sandy.
Yeah. I'll take
all right, well, I'm very sorry. But that's probably why you got married. Now you have a daddy.
Oh, no, he's not like that. Okay, and, you know, he doesn't tell me what to do or nothing. So that's a good part about,
that's
you know,
cool
being
thing.
Married. No, he's a good guy. And, you know, I mean, like I said, it just reminded me of the home situation, you know. And
the flying car and everything.
Yeah, and it just made me laugh. And
well, thanks.
You know, take it easy.
Okay,
though,
see you later. Bye. All right, well, then. Oh, God, I can't get rid of this cold. This is going on week number 4 with this. I mean, in the night, in the morning, there's phlegm and there's this and there's that and there's coughing and hacking and puking. And it's gotten to the point now my wife gets up in the middle of the night and sleeps. I don't know where she's sleeping now. She hasn't slept in our bed for weeks because I'm hacking my guts up. She's sleeping outside, I think. 1-800-449-8686. Now, the other number I want to give you, 1-888-445-8844 is the number for our Las Vegas Hilton Phil Henry Show listening party. You get the VIP check-in. You get the live broadcast. You'll have a three-course dinner with a blues band. That's for our big cocktail reception on Saturday night. And you'll get the Park Place Entertainment coupon, the Match and Play Gambling, 3 days and two nights. And $379 plus tax is the price based on double occupancy. That means for two people, because we had people calling and saying, what does double occupancy mean? Does that mean two people? Okay, see? I told my friend Eddie that's what it meant. By the way, CNN executives on Monday yanked an on-air promotion that referred to anchorwoman Paula Zahn as sexy. Why? Because they suddenly realized she wasn't. All right, let's go on here to Jay. Jay, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Jay? Queer. Nothing but homosexuals in Charleston. What are you going to do? Jeremy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, this is Jeremy.
Yes, Jeremy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I love your show.
Thanks, man.
And I was thinking about what you said about the future. And you know that Buck Rogers series that was out in the 80s? Or
Buck
I guess maybe early,
yeah,
late
yeah,
70s?
Yeah, Buck. They were, yeah, they Gil were Gerard like, was in that, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, in the year 1987, when the last of the deep space spacecraft came out. And that's pretty funny now because it's like years ago.
When did this Buck Rogers come out, man? Buck Rogers and the something.
And the 25th century, I think they called
well,
it.
Well, yeah, it's like the movie Things to Come. It's like H.G. Wells' Things to Come. By the year 1970, when man had destroyed himself and there was nothing but nuclear waste and rubble.
Yeah,
we can't fight it with both hands. All right, man, thanks.
Man.
See you later. Bye. Yes, in the futuristic year 1987. All the big milestone years came and went without nary a wet fart. 1984. Yeah, that was a real Nazi year, that was. Well, if you count Reagan being president, I'm joking. We had the Olympics. We partied. The pot was better than ever in 1984. Then, 2001. I ain't been to the moon, man. They ain't have no monolith. They ain't even got no Pan Am anymore flying to the moon. Guy's supposed to. And the video phone that guy was talking to his little girl on in the movie 2001, the ones we have now, it looks like, you know, Rosie the Robot with that Kamal Ryder guy from Pakistan.
Reporting.
It's Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our trip to Las Vegas is February 22nd through the 24th. What did you want, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. I had a question about your Las Vegas trip.
Sir, I had you on already talking to me about some other stuff, okay? Like the whatever that was, the guy with the Christmas tree that was supposed to be a representative of his manhood.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about your remote broadcast from Las Vegas.
What?
My wife and I will be coming in from the Anza Borrega in an RV with about 30 or 40 other couples. Now, where is the maximum sewage dump area at the Las Vegas Hilton?
Well, sir, are you talking about an RV?
Yes, I want to know.
You want to know what?
About where the sewage is dumped. What maximum allowable sewage dumpage?
I don't understand what you mean by sewage dump.
We're coming in our RV.
Yeah.
As you can well imagine, it's about a 48-hour trip from the Anza Borrega, and we'll be using the toilet quite liberally.
And you want to know where you can dump that?
Yeah, at the Las Vegas Hilton. Do they? I'm sure they have sewage dump tanks where old. I usually dump 30 to 40 gallons per dump. Is that all right?
Okay, listen, man, you'll have to find another promotion. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. By the way, the 2001 CD is out.
When I was 10 years old, I got my mother's stuff like lotion. Stuff that I could afford, stuff for my allowance. My father would give us money, and we would get stuff. He would give us a little guidance.
Well, I will tell you something. If you were my dad, I would not let you give. You gave your mother Vaseline. Is that what you gave her?
Yes, the 2001 CD is available now. It's the best of the Phil Hendry Show 2001, and it's called Bring It, and it's available now on our website. Go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can get a copy of any of the past CDs that we've done, the best of 97, right on up to the best of 2001. The 2001 is now out and available. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and pick up a copy of our latest Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. It's got Bobby with Don't Ever Say That Word, Vernon, a selection that you just heard right there called Mother's Day Lube, RC, Doing Cows, Colleen, Two Fingers to Thinner Thighs, a classic, Clara and the ADD Guy, David Hall, Women in the Bathroom, Pastor William Rennick, Werewolf. There is Dean, Ass Basting for Peace, Pastor William Rennick's Werewolf, I mentioned, Ted Loves the Lakers, Jeff on Roller Coaster Safety, Art Griego, British Airways, and Chris Norton talking about how he'd never want to be in a bar with his own clone because it may be some very serious competition for all of the single women in the place. Yes, you don't want to miss it. Bring It, the best of the year, the best of the Phil Hendry Show year 2001, now available on our website. And our website, of course, is philhendryshow.com. You won't be disappointed. All right, now back to our regular program content. Here is Robert. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Hi, I'm a first-time caller, and just started listening to your show here just a while back. Really enjoy it. But anyway, what I was going to ask you was, I think earlier you mentioned something about the movie Predator.
Oh, somebody had called about Predator 2.
Yeah, well, I think Predator 1 was actually better than Predator 2.
Oh, no, yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, now, Predator 1, I don't know if you know this, but they had something on TV here after that movie came out where this a general in the Pentagon actually had seen this movie, and he liked that so much that he had somebody, I don't know whether they have the boys in the back room, he said, I like this so much, you guys need to come up with something like this that we can use out in the field.
Well, what? Come up with what?
Well, you know, where you can't see anybody because, you know, they all of a sudden...
You mean the guys in the Pentagon want to come up with a basic invisibility serum?
Right.
Oh, wow.
They did it wasn't a serum. What they did is they come up with these plates, and these plates that were made out of mirrors. And what they did is they came up, of course, the armor itself was real heavy, so it was like a preliminary version of this. But anyway, they came up with something like a suit.
Are you sure this isn't something that you just thought of and you want to make
somebody else thought of it? This is something that they came out with, and they just showed it on TV. It was on the Learning Channel.
And these are, it's a mirror, it's a suit of mirrors.
Right, and what it was, it just reflected your surroundings is what it basically did.
It's not total invisibility, but it's a sort of it's weird.
Yeah, it is. And I thought, you know, when you said brought that Predator movie up.
So you're fighting this guy and you see yourself walking toward you. Is that what it is, basically?
Well,
yeah.
No, basically the purpose for that is that so you can sneak up on your opponent. So the only thing I can think of is possibly like your ops.
Well, the guy would turn around and see you sneaking up on him, and he'd see himself going, ah, is basically what he'd see. Is this being made by Peenemann Enterprises, perchance?
Who knows? But like I said, seeing this, this was like a raw version of, you know, they obviously tried to come up with something that, and it worked at pretty good that the guy had this suit of armor on, but the only thing, it was just so heavy and bulky.
It worked pretty good. Who are the numbnuts that they were sneaking up on with this thing? All right, it's probably...
I'm in the daytime now.
Yeah.
And
why not just make a suit that is skin tight, made out of... Oh, listen to me trying to come up with these ridiculous things. Okay. Your time is up, sir.
Dude, do you realize what you'd look like? You'd look like a walking disco ball. I mean, that's wrong. All right, thanks. A walking disco ball. A suit of... Okay, that's whack. There is a lot of stuff going on in that Afghanistan war. Some of the things they got, man, is... I mean, what is this bomb that sucks the oxygen out of caves? You know, sometimes I'm scared. I'm like, I hope they never use this stuff on me. Who were the diabolical minds thinking of this? And why? You know, we were all just moseying along, just enjoying the 90s, enjoying the Clinton 90s, having our dot-com moment, doing whatever it was we were doing in the 90s, listening to, you know, sort of the post-grunge moment and, you know, listening to American music make its resurgence. Yeah. Growing older, growing younger, growing hair, not growing. We were doing what we were doing. Meanwhile, locked away in some cavern in Washington is some guy coming up with oxygen-sucking bombs. Why? Just, this will ensure my promotion to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Man, we kicked ass in the Gulf. There was no other horizons to conquer. But somewhere back there in D.C., they had one paranoid guy thinking of, well, I don't know, I think things are okay, but you never know. I think we need an oxygen-sucking bomb, then we need a daisy cutter, and another thing we need, the daisy cutter they used, by the way, in the Gulf War. In fact, this sucker, seriously, this thing, this daisy cutter, made such a concussive effect upon impact that the British, who were observing from a distance, there were British tankers up on a ridge, and they radioed to each other that the Yanks have just nuked Kuwait. They thought we'd dropped the nuclear bomb. So I don't know what that thing is about, although I have seen those mushroom clouds. They're very pretty. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The father of this shoe bomber, Richard Reed, is on TV right now, and he's a real piece of work. He's one of those guys with no lower teeth. You ever seen those guys? I don't want to comment on the man, but generally when you're missing your lower teeth, that is a sign of some street time. You can be missing your upper teeth. That's, yeah, that could be football. But lower teeth? All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
They had that Robert Reed's father, Robin Reed, on television just a moment ago. He's a older gentleman, obviously, and he's from Britain, and he hopes, he says, that his son is put into a institution. Basically, he said he hopes his son's put into a mental hospital, like a, you know, that they don't do anything worse to him than lock him away for a long time. I can't disagree with that. I mean, all the guy tried to do was light his shoe on. I know that there was explosives in it and everything, but he obviously didn't have his marbles together if he's trying to light his shoes on fire. Anybody who knew anything about that kind of explosive said shortly after it happened, that's not the way you detonate C4. You have to have some detonation device, you don't light your shoes on fire, all right? Don't never do that. There's no reason to light your shoes on fire. Unless they're shoes that you've worn for a really long time and haven't showered in between. Embarrassed CNN executives on Monday yanked an on-air promotion that referred to anchorwoman Paula Zahn as sexy, accompanied by the sound effect of... Wait a minute, you'll have to do that again. The 15-second... No, actually, it was the sound of a zipper. The 15-second spot promoting Zahn's morning news show aired about a dozen times on CNN Saturday and Sunday. Good God. In the ad, a narrator asks, where can you find a morning news anchor who's provocative, super smart, and, oh yeah, just a little sexy? CNN. Yeah, CNN. The words provocative, smart, and sexy are flashed on the screen, followed by a picture of Zahn. The zipper is clearly audible, just as the narrator is about to call Zahn sexy. Wow. God. Oh, come on. This is a desperate move on the part of a network that is really feeling itself slipping under the pressure of Fox. A zipper? Why not? Isn't that more to the point? CNN said the advertisement was created and put on the air by its promotion department by a woman and not approved by top executives. Jamie Kellner, chairman of CNN parent Turner Broadcasting, ordered it removed from the air as soon as he saw it. It was a major blunder by our promotions department, CNN chairman Walter Isaacson said. I was outraged, and so was Paula, who spent more than 20 years proving her credibility day in and day out. Zahn says she was offended by the promotion when she saw it. So what's next? Larry King in a Speedo or some kind of a thong? Larry King just, you know, taking a look at all those blondes that he likes to date, and suddenly you hear just a quiet thump underneath the desk? Okay, here is KC on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey,
hey man, how you doing?
Larry King in a Speedo, right?
Yeah, Larry in a Speedo, and then you hear the very subtle, you know, on the desk.
Yeah,
there, man.
Yeah.
The desk kind of rises up about a quarter inch, probably, in Larry's case.
Listen, I love your show, man.
Thanks.
Real quick, you know, you're talking about the disco ball weapon and
right.
The
and we got it going on, man. We got the disco ball weapon happening
and the
now.
The giant suck weapon and
yes,
all that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Some guy invented something that sucks.
I got to tell you this. I was watching Fox News this afternoon, and this is absolutely true, man. You know that scroll they got going across the bottom?
Yes.
Well, I was reading it, and it goes like, Pentagon is now experimenting with a new weapon, a super stink bomb.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah. They're going to stink them. They're going to stink the joint out, literally.
Sure, sure. Spend a few more $1 billion of my tax money on a stink bomb.
Well, I mean, you see, you're right, but the whole thing with that suck bomb is that we actually needed it. I mean, who would ever thought about 5 years ago if the guy says, well, we're developing a bomb that will suck all the air out of a cavern. Well, whatever, man. Well, it turns out we needed the thing, you know.
For real.
So here's this Kenny Thomas guy, this former Army Ranger. Thanks for your call. And I actually looked this guy. I saw him interviewed on CNN. I looked him up on that Black Hawk Down. He's portrayed by an actor named Tack Fitzgerald. Anyway, I'm just talking about a lot of crap that nobody... Here it is. A group of scientists are experimenting with the worst smells imaginable to help the military develop an odor bomb so foul it could clear crowds. Taking the smell left by the New York Giants after Super Bowl 35, they have... A group of scientists are experimenting with the worst smells imaginable to help the military develop an odor bomb. The last Mike and Don show helped them get their... Yes, a group of scientists are experimenting with the worst smells imaginable to help the military develop an odor bomb. They were looking at The Other Side on TV the other day, and they decided, what's the name of that show with Dick Clark? Did I blow it? Ain't it The Other Side? Who am on it? Men only? For men only? Terry cloth robes only? What is that? Small, short towels around your waist only? What they would be interested in is something to keep people out of certain areas, said Pamela Dalton, a researcher at the Philadelphia-based Monell Chemical whatever. We're going for odors that are so foul, so stench-filled, that no one in their right mind would go anywhere near the area. Utilizing Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, they took the smell. The Pentagon asked Monell to help develop the stinky but non-lethal weapon. The center's work on putrid odors, that really is a good point. I mean, why would you make a stink bomb that was fatal? I mean, otherwise, what's the point, right? That's called poison gas. That kills, but a stink bomb, by definition, almost can't kill, unless you want to torture the person before you kill them. You know, now it's going to smell really, it's going to smell like someone's ass, and then you'll die. What do you think of that? I mean, it's ridiculous. They're probing human pheromones, that's right, pheromones, inquiring about food cravings or sniffing body odors. Using Phil's breath after a Caesar salad, Dalton's job is to... Anyway, whether people are born with preferences for odors or whether it's learned, we don't know, said Dalton. Researchers have looked for odors that produced a negative reaction in all cultures, such as human waste, rotting animal flesh, and garbage. They focused on biological odors, believing they were most likely to be recognized, Dalton said. He cautioned that the military could be a very long way from developing an offensive weapon. An offensive weapon. And that scientists are still trying to work out some bugs. Yes, we're a long way from that stench bomb. Because God knows we can develop a bomb that is a sucks the oxygen out of caves, can daisy cut the crap out of 800 square miles, a nuclear bomb that can incinerate 60,000 people in one fell swoop. But getting that stink bomb going, that's tough. All right. Here is Ennis. Hi, Ennis. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I was listening earlier about the Predator, the armor. I haven't heard of such a thing as an armor that a person would wear that emulates that same kind of characteristic, but I do know that they've been working on airplane armor that projects whatever's on the other side of the airplane. It's called visual stealth.
Hmm.
So whatever's on the back side of the plane will be projected on the bottom side of the plane, so you'll never know it's there.
Wow.
Most effective at night, that kind of thing. And so they've been working on that for a while.
That's what I mean. I mean, some of these things, these weapons that are just now coming because of the Afghan war?
Well, I think mainly people get more attention thrown towards the defense of the country when something happens.
Right.
I mean, I thank God that they're proactive in finding these kind of weapons ahead of time, because if they wait till we need them, we're caught with our pants down.
That's a good point. I like the whole quick strike thing. This is very cool. Look, you know, I'm not a warrior. I was never in the Army, and God knows it was a good thing. But looking at it from afar, just as a taxpaying American, which I suppose there's more of us than there are actual military people, it seems like a very smart thing that they develop these kinds of commando-style, quick-strike, battalion-strength forces. You know, gone are the days, at least in this war. Now, who knows? There may be another war that we're going to fight. Look, one guy died. I'm really sorry about this poor young man losing his life. He was a soldier. I'm sure that in his life, he considered the possibility he was going to die. I don't think anybody should be too surprised. Now, one guy dying, there were what, like 2,000 Marines died in the battle for Iwo Jima. 2,000? I mean, during World War II, we lost thousands of guys in one day. And here we got in 3-4 months of Afghan war, the CIA operative, 3-5, under 10 fatalities, and I think really just this one as the result of direct combat with the enemy. Now, the CIA operative was killed in that prison uprising, and there were accidents and so forth, but You can't. I'm the last guy, man, to make light of a man dying in the defense of his country. But you can't. You just can't take that as see, okay, now it's starting. Pull him out. I mean, I've heard guys the last few days saying we are trying to figure out what went wrong. We don't know what went wrong. It's a war. He's a soldier. He died. What do you mean? What went wrong? What are you talking about? By God, we lost a man. I don't know. I mean, what is somebody going to cut their wrist over this? The bad thing. We get that stink bomb going, though, man. There ain't going to be no one dying. It's just going to stink, I guess. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Not to confuse you with the numbers, here's another one, though. 1-888-1-888. Jesus. 1-888-445-8844. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. 1-888-445-8844. Come on to Vegas, February. You know,
drinking, man?
I ain't been drinking. I've been drinking cough medicines, what I've been drinking. And I ain't even drinking that during the daytime. I drink that at night, which is part of my problem. On February 22nd to the 24th is when we'll be having the first ever Phil Hendry listening party at the Las Vegas Hilton. VIP check-in, all that stuff. Call 888-445-8844. Come party with me, Phil Hendry. Family will be there, and this will be an opportunity for us to hook up, and you can tell me just, you know, all the things that people tell me when I go out and do personal appearances. Okay, did you do the voice of the guy on the bit that I heard when the time and I roll and all manner of other things? A lot of times I'll go out and I'll do, like, these signings, and people won't talk to me. They'll stand in groups and talk about the show. So in other words, I'll be sitting there twiddling my thumbs with absolutely nobody to talk to, and there's a group of about 10 people going, on another show that he did, I believe it was the one with Rudy Canosa, it was a wonderful statement about women and the nature of society, and then some other egghead will chime in, and they're all talking to each other, and me, I'm sitting there with my thumb parked. So come on out. It'll be in Vegas the 22nd to the 24th of February, 1-888-445-8844. Visit our website, too, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. The best of the Phil Hendry Show year 2001 is available now. It's been a long time coming, baby, but we finally got our 2001 CD available, and it is up and running on our website. We'll also have some personal appearances where, if you'd like, you can come out and we'll sign it for you. Also, if you visit our website, you'll note that Joe Dickhead went 11 for 3 yesterday, or 11 for 14 yesterday in his NFL picks. He picks Baltimore tonight, and I don't know what the score is, but I imagine the Ravens with a playoff spot on the line, which would mean that Dickhead goes 12 and 3, right? 12 of 15, yeah. He missed the Bengal game. What do I mean he? Me. I'm the one. Didn't pick Cincy, picked Tennessee in that game. The Jets, he had Oakland, and the Jets won that game. And he picked Tampa Bay over the Eagles, and the Eagles won that game last night. That's where that's at. Here is Rick. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Rick?
Yeah, Phil. I was wondering when we're going to see in a movie.
I went to one this past weekend. Were you over at the Man 8? It was great. It was, I believe, Beautiful Mind.
No, I mean, really.
Never. I don't know. Why? Are you hiring?
No.
What do you mean, when are you going to see me in a movie?
I can think of a lot of good parts for you.
Okay. Bug off, will you? If you ain't going to tell me which one, what do you want to do? Wait and go, oh, really, Rick? Which one do you think I'd be good in? You know the guy's, he's setting you up for something. I think a lot of good parts. The one of the guy who's an asshole. And, yeah, right. The homosexual in Bent. Any one of those. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good, Jeff.
Hey, Phil, I've been listening to your show for quite a while now, and I haven't heard from Dave Oliva in a while. I was wondering when we might hear from Dave again.
I think he was on like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I must have missed it.
There you go.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Well, thank you.
All right, Phil.
He's on our CD. Go to our website. There's a nice cut on there, I think. I don't know.
Well, I got my wife hooked on you now. She didn't believe it at first. She thought it was just a put-on.
Well, we don't have Dave Oliva on our CD this year. Jeez.
Well, I got her to sit down at the computer, and she saw the Fox interview, and she's heard a couple of the CDs because I've ordered them, and now she's hooked.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Well, our 2001's ready to go, brother.
All right, Dave.
Thanks. No, the name's Phil. Okay, never mind. Who does he think he's talking to? He thinks he's talking to Dave Oliva. Well, in a point of fact, he's right. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good.
I have a comment and a question for you real quick. I tried to get on when you were taking, like, votes for your 2001 CD, and I'm so glad you put on the Colleen Kristen Brewster skit, because I was trying so hard to get on and tell you about
that. Oh, two fingers to thinner thigh, inner thighs, yeah.
That is the best skit I think I ever heard you do. I actually cried when I heard that from laughing so hard. It's just the best.
Yeah, she, just to let it people, that was when Colleen Kristen Brewster, owner of On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, was talking about having a cruise for women who are bulimic. Two fingers to thinner thighs, and then she'd have puke pots throughout the cruise ship, and women could just walk by and...
And then she's like, I want to wrap that up and take it home. And
oh, yes!
I love that.
It was a beautiful thing.
And the question I have for you was, I heard you mention about the parents of the kid who crashed the plane in Florida.
Right.
And we're always bringing up the parents, like with John Walker, and even as far back as the kids who had killed at Columbine. And I was wondering, how accountable are parents when things like this happen? Or is it just we're looking for somebody to pick on because of it, or should the kids...
That's it. I'm just looking for someone to pick on. I'm just looking for somebody's ass I can kick, you know. Who knows, man? Look, I can tell you this. Where I am today in my life is my parents had nothing to do with that. I'm not going to give them any credit. No, I'm kidding. Who knows? If you're going to blame them for the bad stuff, you got to also credit them for the good, don't you think?
Exactly.
So the people that say, I made it this far despite my crappy upbringing, right? Then a guy would have to say, I blew up that bank even though my parents were really great. Yeah, or I flew the plane into a building even though my parents were solid. You know, I think you'd have to say that.
I know. It's a tough call with that because, I mean, I have kids myself, and, I mean, I don't want them crashing planes or bringing a gun to high school.
It'd really suck. Yeah, it'd really suck.
Scary.
Yeah. Who needs that phone call, right?
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I got, four kids that I'm responsible for, and one of them.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm working with one right now. Yeah, John, that's a scary thought, isn't it, John? He says, okay, I got to go now, Phil. No, you know, and I'm working with one of them now because he's really kind of lagging back in school. And I wonder if he's going to grow up and think, yeah, and my stepdad was a real dick, you know, leaning over me at night and screaming at me and stuff. I don't know. So I think what I'm probably going to do is just do a hands-off thing, let them find their way and recommend. I think I'll recommend they rob banks. And that way they'll rebel and become tellers. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Thanks, John, for your call. Why are you making me think this hard? I'll tell you one thing that's tough. Marriage. Not that nobody doesn't know that, but, man, it's a tough deal. I like being married. I love my wife. And I enjoy, you know, all of the good things that come of it. But when it's a struggle, it's a struggle. You know, no wonder there's so many people get divorced. It's really hard, dude. There is no way in the world you can sell marriage as something that, oh, well, just do the best you can and everything will work out. Bull crap. You have really got to walk the fine line between, I want to do for me, but I also have to do for us. I want to make sure that I'm okay, but I also want to make sure that we're okay. I want to make sure that I get to have my poker game and smoke my cigars and drink my beer, but I also want to make sure that our home is a beautiful thing that doesn't stink like cigars and beer. You know, I just use that because that's kind of an example out of my life. But I would say this. There is no shame whatsoever in not getting married. And as long as I was a bachelor for the years that I lived before I got married, I never, ever saw. Now, this is, I don't know whether this is a sad commentary on me or it's a sad commentary on the people that I met. I never, ever saw one married couple that I was envious of, that I thought had something that I wanted, or otherwise had, you know, looked like they were living the life that I wanted to live. Never did I ever see that. I never saw it. Now, I'm saying this coming from the background that I come from. Both my folks were divorced, you know. So starting with my parents. And the only reason why I got married is not because I wanted to get married. It's because I met somebody that I loved enough, and I realized that I had to marry her to be with her. You know, but I never looked to get married. Getting into the world of marriage, dude, this is a tough prospect. And you know what, man? You don't have to get married until you're at least 30. I would recommend that everybody, men and women, wait until they're 30. What's the big wow? So in other words, you don't have your first baby till you're 30. Oh, my God. Then you'll be 40 when they're 10. Not that. You got guys right now fathering children at 86. Oh, that's great. So your kid will be 10, and you'll only be 104. That's good. Then you can go out and throw the baseball around a little bit, go to Little League games. We're going to roll your dad to the Little League game on a gurney with a tube coming out of his ass and his nose. Tony Randall, how old is he, 112? So his kid will be, he'll be 124 when his kid's Little League age. So Tony Randall will be wheeled up to the Little League field with a tube, just, you know, brown fluid coming through a tube into a waste disposal tank. Beep, 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 beep. And it's a base hit. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, your dad really liked that, Billy. Yeah, I know that. Beep, 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 beep. You know, when your father can't say anything to you other than just beep congratulations, I don't think it's cool, man, that you're a frozen head when your kid graduates. I don't think that's cool at all. You're a cryogenically frozen head just wheeled up into the auditorium as your kid. And now, Billy Randall. And the head's just sitting in a spaghetti colander. What the hell's that about? So you got your head sitting in a lasagna dish with a spaghetti colander for a hat. Futurama. Tony Randall, when his kid graduates from high school, Tony Randall's head is in a lasagna dish with a spaghetti colander for a hat. Wires coming off of it. Oh, that sucks. Sucks for the kid. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the foremost conservative in talk radio today, the Michael P. Castrato Show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. I'm 9 minutes away from the top of the hour. This is Michael P. Castrato, the voice of conservatism in America. Jesus. What are the liberals thinking of now? Listen to this. This is really going to... P-O-U. That's right. Give me a call here, the Michael P. Castrato, and you know the number, 1-800-I-CRAP-DOWN-LIBERALS-NEXT. That's 1-800-I-CRAP-RIGHT-DOWN-THE-NECK-OF-A-LIBERAL. Now check this out and listen to this. Our president, of course, as you know, is doing some great things in Afghanistan, is it, Billy? What's the name of it?
Afghanistan.
I always get that wrong. It's in Afghanistan. As if mirroring the tactical warfare and gun-toting combat dominating the news, about 200 men and boys scurried from the cover of trees and wood planks over the weekend during a typical game at Paintball USA. Listen to this. Eddie, are you listening to this? This is nuts. In fact, the owners of the Paintball Adventure Company, which boasts more than 40 acres of rugged terrain, said that they have experienced a 30% jump in business since the War on Terror began. After the September 11th terrorist attacks. Can you believe that? As if a paintball game is the same thing that our guys are going through in Afghanistan, or?
I think it's Afghanistan.
We think we're going to double check. I know it ends with Stan. We're going to double check on that, though. But I am telling you right now, this is an insult to every man and woman that ever put on a uniform of the United States military, army, that a guy can go and play paintball and think he's in Afghanistan? Bull crap. That's on the Michael P. Castrato bull crap meter.
Bullseye.
That's right. All right, let's go to a phone call. I can't believe that. This pisses me off, if you'll pardon my language. Go ahead. Hi, Cleveland, Ohio. You're on the air.
Michael.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think you missed the point of the paintball. It's not supposed to be combat. It's just kids playing army.
Oh, get out of here, you GD liberal.
Wait a minute, you faggot.
How about that guy? That's the way the liberals think, don't they? All right, we'll be right back. Okay, we're back.
All right, screw it. All right, let's go over here to Josh. Josh, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
What's up,
Phil? What's up, man? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. I was just going to comment on what you was talking about marriage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 20 years old. Been
there
married
you go.
About 2 years.
Oh, nice going.
Got a 15-month-old little girl.
Oh, you're really in the wheelhouse. 2 years married with a 15-month-old little girl.
Yeah. Do the math. It was after we got married. But,
wait a second. Two
yeah,
plus
and,
three.
And we're on the verge of divorce.
Five. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, well, sir, way to go.
Well, I mean, there you go. What? I'm not even going to ask you the history of it.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure that I can guess.
You know, kids getting together,
making dirty together,
It wasn't that at all. It was that. I mean, we loved each other.
You went potty together, and then you noticed things were different.
Yeah, you know, she said,
ooh, you have a different one than me. Yeah, here, it go. Park your car in my garage. Okay. And the next thing you know, a 15-month-old baby. Things happen, man.
I mean, my little girl's my life, but, you know, some people just think that marriage is all fun and games, and I know even kids younger than I am trying to get married, you know, and engaged couple I talk to, I say, wait.
We get the picture, man. We get the picture. Little Rock, 18, make potty together, I know. We understand. Jody, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey there.
Hi.
You're talking about the paintball bit, right?
Right.
How do you feel about that again, exactly?
I didn't say. Here is Jennifer on the Phil Hendry Show. Jennifer?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Great.
I just wanted to comment, the guy who's 20 and is on the verge of divorce.
Yeah.
I'm 22. I got married 1 week from graduating high school.
1 week after you graduated high school?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I got pregnant on our honeymoon.
All right.
And
so you were 18 and
got
pregnant.
It's been 4.5 years, and I am so in love with my husband. It's not funny.
Unfortunately, he's not in love with you. And now then, no, I don't know. That's him. Oh, that was him on the other line, by the way,
no,
calling in, Jennifer.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
My
wife, she's a real sack of meat, I'll tell you that. Seriously? All right, well, you know what? Keep going, man. Keep plugging. I mean, you know what I mean by that. Keep
loving. I just didn't want everybody to think that young marriages all end up in divorce.
I think it's all spoom, but that's just me, you know.
Well.
But, you know, you're right. Some do last.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, take care.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for that very positive note.
Bye.
On young marriage. Bye.
Well, I'm Michael P. Castrato.
I would listen to that show. I would. The Michael P. Castrato show, conservative or not, I would check him out weekly right here on the Premier Radio Networks. But I got to talk Craig. I got to talk our big boss into letting me do like another show on the network, like a weekend show, the Michael P. Castrato show. And I could come on and just...
Hi, that's your big weekend conservative connection here. God, I gotta tell you, I am so PO'd at a lot of the liberals.
All right, the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.